Today we have before us that beautiful exhortation of the Apostle Paul on the theme of love. It follows a couple weeks ago's passage from Corinthians about spiritual gifts that Mike Reardon preached about. Today we consider the most excellent of those gifts that are given to us, the gift of love. As Mike pointed out in his sermon, the community in Corinth was a community who really must have thought they were something. Corinth was a city in ancient Greece, famous for its sexual immorality. It was also a place where Greek mystery religions were very popular. Those religions went in for spiritual experiences in a big way. The people who participated in them were used to being moved by powerful supernatural forces. They might go into a trance or experience a powerful emotion like ecstasy, or carry out some other strange course of action. This sort of thing was considered normal in the mystery religions. And if you didn't have these kind of experiences, there wasn't much point in participating in that cult or religion to begin with. So the Corinthian Christians liked dramatic spiritual experiences. As Mike reminded us, they loved supernatural gifts like speaking in tongues and miracles and healings. Their egos got in the way, and as Mike said, they missed the point of these qualities as God's gift to them. Let's turn our attention now to that most excellent gift of love. In English, we use the word love in our common context to primarily talk about emotion. But Paul is writing in Greek, and his use of the word love is not an emotion. The Greeks actually have a very rich understanding of love, and it can mean different things at different times, and they had several words to describe it. So I'd like to look at four important distinctions the Greek gives to the word love. First, there is the word eros, which refers to what today we would call romantic or sexual love, love that's a response to beauty or goodness in the beloved. The second word the Greeks use to describe love is philia, from which we get our word philanthropy. In Greek, its meaning is close to what we would call today friendship. It's the word from which Philadelphia gets its name, city of brotherly love. The third word for love is storge, which carries this sense of love of the familiar. It's the love we have for our family members or those we've known our whole lives. However, in Paul's writing this letter, he doesn't use any of these words that describe above to describe love. Instead, he uses a word that they may have invented themselves. It doesn't appear in any earlier Greek literature, and that word is agape, and it doesn't describe an emotion at all. Agape love isn't based on affection or approval. It's something that's totally unconditional, coming as a free gift. It's a love that's a decision of the will to act in the other person's best interest, whether we feel like it or not. It's getting down at the supper table and washing the feet of the disciples. It's being willing to lay down your life to save people you don't even know or that care about you. It's the way God loves us and the way God calls us to act toward others as well. For us, it's setting aside something that I think is important for the well-being of someone else. It's placing myself in the shoes of another person to see life from their perspective and to be willing to change my mind and heart so someone else's life is better. It's about the Holy Spirit's power to transform lives. That's the love that Paul is calling upon. So when he says love is the most excellent way, he's not talking about storge or eros or philia. He's talking about agape, self-giving love as gift, that is not earned or deserved, but given anyway. He says, we now see dimly in a mirror, then we shall know as we are known. Our attempts at agape love are to mirror God's perfect and fully unconditional way of loving. The best we can hope to do or can do is for us to merely reflect this most excellent, perfect love of God in our world. It's our call and our purpose here in this world. I'm sure you've heard the expression, you can tell if there is love in a home or not the moment you walk in the door. For me, it's not just an expression, but something real and tangible that one really does feel upon entering certain places. I believe it may be a physical reality which occurs when a place is intentionally used to share and give love as a gift to those who enter the space. I firmly believe there is no more important work for church communities than to do this act of fostering agape love. I recently stumbled upon a quote that speaks directly to this point. The quote came from a sermon preached by Dr. Haddon Robinson at a pastor's conference some years ago, and he was preaching on the text from our epistle today. Toward the end of his sermon, Dr. Robinson said this, love is that thing which, if a church has it, it doesn't really need much else. And if it doesn't have it, whatever else it has doesn't really matter very much. You know, this is the reason folks come to our community dinners and all the pride we take in hosting them at St. Peter's. When people walk through the doors of this sanctuary or through the doors of Phelps Hall, the agape love that has been shared over many decades simply radiates out, and people entering the space feel that love, and I've heard people comment on it directly. There is a feeling of welcome and hospitality that is an important way of expressing this agape love and nurturing it day after day, year after year. And now that we have completed this beautiful parish hall, it's time for us to discern how it can be, yes, best used as a tool to advance God's mission to express that agape love. Self-giving love that is expressed as a gift, not because it is earned or deserved. Rather, agape love that is offered freely, intentionally and consciously, to mirror the perfect love of Christ who offered himself as free gift for you and me and the entire world. Christ offered his life not because we deserve it, but because it is God's desire to express God's self most fully as love in the flesh and bone person of Jesus Christ. Our job, my friends, is to do the very best we can to mirror this love in every aspect of our individual lives and corporate life as the community of St. Peter's Hebron. And so today I invite you and I to continue this work that we've been given to do. Amen.